This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the health care and health news channels. Don't forget, we are streaming on demand as well, 24/7, on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Ray Carney, Well AP, and Vice President at Marcon Solutions, a consulting firm with expertise in facility strategy and program management. Mr. Carney, a pleasure to have you with us today here on eHealth Radio.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
And the pleasure and honor is certainly ours as well, Mr. Carney. So for starters, tell us, what are the costs and impact of poor well-being within the workplace?
Well, Eric, that's really a great place to start. There's so many costs related or attributed to poor well-being. We spend so much of our time at our workplace and indoors that we have to really notice that that's going to make an impact on our health and well-being. And some of these costs are very easy to track for our businesses, and some are very difficult. Most of our human resources teams or HR teams can provide to us the costs of insurance, the costs of pharmaceutical, what we spend on those types of things as businesses. They also can track absenteeism and worker compensation claims. Those sort of things are pretty easy to pull from the balance sheet. What's a lot harder to track, Eric, is turnover, overstaffing, our employee morale, how engaged are our employees, are they disenfranchised with us, or even client inconvenience. These things are somewhat almost even impossible to track, but we know there's a cost attributed to them. So let me share with you some of the big costs, Eric, of that the Social Security Administration says we spend over $63 billion annually as a country on workers' compensation claims. A recent Kaiser study said that in 2009, the average employer spends about $14,000 on health insurance premiums for an average family. That seems to be going up at least 50% over the last 5 years. And in 2030, there's a behavioral risk study that says that 51% of the United States is going to be obese. So it's just some of the ideas of the costs and the places where we can make an impact that relate to wellness and wellness in the workplace.
And Ray, what can we be doing to shift these costs into opportunities?
That's a great question. With costs this high and with health and productivity as a focus, we have a huge opportunity to make a big impact with our companies and with all the people that work for us. That can be done through smart building design, through policy, through education. Organizations can activate both savings and increase productivity just by installing wellness through wellness initiatives. Iona Bray recently authored a book called Healthy Employees, Healthy Business, where she studied Johnson & Johnson very closely, and she noticed, and Johnson & Johnson says that 15% reduction in absenteeism, all due to their wellness programs. They also state that they saved $250 million in healthcare over a decade. Harvard Business Review has a study that says that for every dollar you spend in wellness, you get a $6 return. I recommend that organizations look into an evidence-based standard in order to maximize their work environments. So instead of saying things like, we want office space that's like Google, they use real scientific data and research and set standards for how their space is designed. And those are concepts like the WELL Building Standard, which was based on 7 years of research and provides both concrete and realistic standards for how we build our environments.
Also, Ray, if you would, take a moment and get into what are the concepts of the WELL Building Standard.
Sure. There's actually 7 concepts of wellness in the built environments and in our office spaces. Those concepts are air, water, nourishment, light, fitness, comfort, and mind. So 7 different concepts, and these concepts are set up and assembled by an organization called the International Well Building Institute. And those further break down into over 100 features. These features define the standards for wellness in the built environments. So the International Well Building Institute then certifies your building or your office space, either a silver level, a gold level, or a platinum level of WELL certification. This level of certification basically acts as a nutrition label. So as you walk into an office building or an office space, you can look and see where the space is certified, and you can know how healthy and how productive that building environment is.
Today we are speaking with Mr. Ray Carney, Well AP and Vice President at Marcon Solutions, a consulting firm with expertise in facility strategy and program management here on eHealth Radio's healthcare and health news channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. Now, Mr. Carney, can you provide a few examples of how you see wellness installed in the built environment?
Sure. There's both easy and more difficult changes to make to your environment to make them more productive and make better wellness for your employees. There's some of the easy standards to meet, Eric, include things like for the air concept. You can have a smoking ban inside of your office. That makes everyone a lot healthier and a lot more productive. Under the nourishment concept, you should encourage smaller portion sizes. And the well-building standard through science and research has determined that the right portion sizes and the right cup sizes and bowl sizes that you should be providing your employees, those standards are set in the well-building standard. Under the fitness concept, you can install sit-stand desks, a big trend that's happening out there in industry that helps while combating obesity because you burn 50 calories an hour more by standing than sitting, but also adds to the user's overall comfort and makes them more productive while they're at work. For more difficult features that you might want to install to get more wellness in your built environment, you might have an example like exposing occupants to more sunlight and get them closer to windows and get their body's circadian rhythms a little bit more in line with what we were used to as people. What this will do is it'll help improve sleep patterns and mood. Examples like that and moving your whole office to a free address system where employees come in on a daily basis and they pick the location where they sit. What that does is it installs a lot more comfort in how people work. So instead of having to go to the same desk where you might think it's too hot or too loud, you can pick your work location, which makes it a little bit more comfortable for you to work. Another thing you may want to do in your built environment is encourage fitness. And you can do this by something like strategically placing the stairs and where the office is, making places more connected in multi-level buildings, making them more connected by using stairs. So those are just a few of the ways you can install wellness. And the well-building standard helps us determine what those might be and what the gaps might be for our companies, how we might be able to get better and get more wellness installed.
And lastly, what is the best way for a company to get started in all regards?
So what I recommend, Eric, is that we get started by an assessment. So you do some kind of benchmarking study. You use a standard like the well-building standard to see where you're at with your organization currently, where you stack up against a standard like the well-building standard. From there, you start to identify some gaps, and you start working on projects to install wellness. I got to tell you, Eric, it's a very addictive thing to do here. So once you start installing wellness, you start to see success. People quickly notice the differences you've made to the environment. People get happier. They get healthier. As people recognize things that these changes to their environment, you're going to want to do more and more and more to make your office both more productive, healthier, and more well-being within your office space. So as you start to install some of these projects and as you start to make your office healthier, I really see that a lot of companies will be going for this well-building certification in the future.
I think this is absolutely fantastic, and we thank you for presenting this to our listening audience as well. Where can our listeners find more information accordingly, and how could they be in touch as well?
What I would ask is that you go to our website. It's marconsolutions.com, M-A-R-K-O-N, solutions.com, and please be well.
Once again, Mr. Carney, we thank you for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. Be well.
We have been speaking with Mr. Ray Carney, Well AP and Vice President at Marcon Solutions, a consulting firm with expertise in facility strategy and program management. And to learn more, simply visit marconsolutions.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the healthcare and health news channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.